our church. I hope you'll line up with me on this. I hope you'll line up with me. Would you welcome, please, Brother T.D. Burgess, a precious, precious friend to us.
Turn to the second epistle of John next to the book of Revelation chapter. Well, it's just one chapter. We look at a verse, and somebody said, "You glad you're here?" I said, "At my age, I'm glad to be anywhere." And I praise the Lord for time. My heart is with your pastor as I travel and go to various churches. There's never been a time we need a move of God, but it starts with the saints of God. And so let's remember that. I don't know. I remember one time this lady said, "Well, I just don't shout." I said, "Why don't you try it sometimes?" She said, "Whoop." So maybe you just have a whooping spell or something. I don't know. But praise the Lord. Brother Snyder is a man, we go back a long time, and his dad before then. But I'm glad we're staying with the old stuff. You don't have to go all this other stuff. And it worked then, and it'll still work now. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. This lady in this church, old saint of God, was sitting out in the middle of the aisle, or down the aisle. They had chairs out, and they got to singing, and she got to shouting. And the pastor kind of motioned and looked at her, and a little while later, she got to shouting again. He just motioned, and two fellas come and lifted her chair up and started out. And just before she got to the door, she shouted again. Said, "What are you shouting for?" Said, "Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and I'm being carried out by two." One verse of scripture for our message today, verse number 8. "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought," or literally gained, "but that we receive a full reward." I want to preach this morning on what a Christian can lose. I want to give you three things, or some scripture here, that we can't lose, but there's some things that a Christian can lose. So let's begin, and I'll go slow and give you these scriptures here. I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 5. John, chapter number 5. And when you find John, chapter 5, I want you to look at verse 24. Now listen to what it says, eternal life. He's talking about, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." Now notice what it says, "hath." That means we now possess everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That's judgment. But I like that little word, "is." But is passed from death unto life. What a wonderful scripture. John 3:36. John 3:36. Then you find in verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." You don't lose that. It's everlasting. I have a fella at Costco's, and we get gas there, and most all the time when we're at home, and he's one of those think he can lose salvation, but I can just quote scriptures to him. He just still don't believe it. But anyway, look at John chapter 10 and verse 28. John 10, and I want you to notice something here. Here in chapter 3, he talks about everlasting life. And in John 28, he said, "And I give unto them eternal life." Okay? Eternal tells you what kind it is. Everlasting tell how long it lasts. See, "and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Praise God. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, look in verse 38 and verse 39. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor the things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. One more verse, John 14. Are you glad you're saved? Say amen. Amen. John 14 and verse number 16. And he said, and I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you for 6 weeks. 1 year. Hallelujah. That comforter, if you're saved, he's in you now. The Holy Ghost of God. I remember a little story like this. This lady told her young boy one day on Sunday, said, son, mother cannot get out of bed. I'm not able to go to church today. And said, I want you to go and listen to the pastor and come back and tell me what our pastor preached. After the service is over, the young man gets back to the house. And his mother says, come here, son, and tell me what our pastor preached today. Said, mother, the whole sermon was about a quilt. She said, a quilt? You can't mean that. Said, no, the whole sermon's about a quilt. That afternoon, a lady came in. And she came in to see the lady, and she said, please tell me what our pastor preached this morning. And she said, oh, he preached a wonderful message on another comforter. I'm glad we have a comforter that abides with us forever. But may I quickly give you, I'm not going to preach long. We ought to be here, out of here by two. But anyway, first of all, let me tell you, are you listening? What can a Christian lose? We have eternal life. But I tell you what, several things, simple things that a Christian can lose. And I'm finding this, and I'm preaching this everywhere. I'm finding people have been saved, but there's no commitment in serving God. But first of all, you can lose your first love. Let me read you Matthew 24:12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I've never seen in my lifetime. I'm 86 years of age, and I've never seen in my lifetime, down through the years, the indifference of professed Christians. I've never seen a time when they love sports, and they love this, and they love that. And they put it before the Lord Jesus Christ. The church at Ephesus, if you look in Acts chapter 19, you'll find about the church at Ephesus. Man, they had everything going. I'm talking about, buddy, everything, anything. I mean, all kind of programs and everything. But I want you to listen what the Word of God says. In the church at Ephesus, in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 4, he said, but you've lost your first love. You lost your first love. I want everybody to check, to stop and right now listen. Remember, go back to the day. And by the way, every day, Brother Dan, I go over my day of conversion. How wonderful it is. I got saved when I was 12. And I turned around and got baptized that afternoon. You know what I did that afternoon? I tell you, when it's church time, I ran back to church. And I mean, man, I couldn't wait to get up and tell them what happened to me that morning. And some other young boys got saved. We got up on the side of the mountain to hold a rock and prayed every Monday night. And we could fill it with about 40 boys and pray. And then, oh man, I'd get up and testify. And some of those old folks come to me and said, oh son, you'll get over it. I wish they were living. It's better today than it was when I first got saved. I have no intention. And I meet people say, you still shouting. I said, I started that way, and I'm going to end up that way. way. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I tell you what is it that really melts your butter that you like to enjoy? But I was glad this morning coming down the interstate. I was glad to head down to Calvary because I knew the Lord was going to be here. I've heard people say, well, I go to church, I don't get anything out of it. If you're saved, you'll get something out of it. If you're really right with God, I'm telling you, you don't go by how you feel. But I think a lot of people have lost that first love. Like this lady said to her husband one day, said, honey, do you love me like you used to love me? And so on. When you first married, you told me you loved me. He said, well, if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Hey, that love that you started out with, it ought to burn in your heart and burn in your life. And you can lose that first love. Not only that, you can lose the joy. I wish sometimes as a church member or a Christian would just come up here with me and look and see if you can get blessed. I'm just saying that, hey, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Word of God said in Psalm 51, David said, restore unto me the joy of thy love. Restore it again. How many times down through the years I said, Lord, don't let me lose the joy that you've given to me. You understand? I'm just saying, hey, somebody said to me the other day, said, when are you going to quit? I said, I ain't. I want you to know the joy. Whew. Lord God, help me. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, love Jesus Christ and joy in your heart and joy in your life. Don't go to your job or school and talk about, well, I just don't get anything out of it and I just don't go to church much and all that stuff. I'm telling you, you can lose your love, but you can lose that J-O-Y joy. The joy is your strength. Amen? Not only that, you can lose your courage. A lot of people, once they leave church, they never, ever, ever mention the name of Jesus. Everywhere I go, this is not boastfully, but everywhere, if I'm talking to somebody that I don't know, I ask them, are they a Christian? I ask a dear, precious black lady in North Carolina, in the Cracker Barrel, and we're going over to the table. And I said to her, ma'am, are you a Christian? And she looked at me and she said, I'm in the fog, F-O-G, full of God. Get in the fog. Get full of God. Go back to that moment when you received Christ. Go back to that time and the joy of the Lord. But also, remember, you used to tell people and invite people to the house of God, but now you don't go half time yourself. I believe a Christian, born again Christian, it is the Lord's day, not your day. It's the Lord's day. And the Bible says that we're to be in the house of God. I hear people all the time say, well, the Lord understands. I said, no, you don't understand. Not forsaking, Jesus, the Word of God says, the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And he said, even more so as you see that day approaching. Brother Snyder was talking about believing, and I believe with all my heart. When the Supreme Court did what they did concerning gay and homosexual marriages, they officially made our nation a Sodom and Gomorrah nation. Over in the book of Genesis chapter 6, twice it said the world filled with violence. Not too long ago, on the bottom of the crawl line of Fox News, it said, world filled with violence. Everything Jesus said, look for. We're looking, here the two things he said, Noah's day, Lot's day, and we got both of them. I'm not saying he's coming today, but he could. Hey, What if this was your last service? What would you do? Or you say, well, preacher, what do you, hey, there'll be people who go to church today across this country, won't be alive tomorrow. You don't have a promise of tomorrow. You know what I'm telling people? Live every day as if it could be your last day. Serve God every day. But I'm telling you, we can lose our courage. Elijah was a great man. I love Elijah. In 1 Kings 18, he prayed in 63 words, and the fire comes down. Hadn't rained in 3.5 years, prayed 7 times, and he said to Ahab, let's get down. I hear an abundance of rain. You know what he did? He ran 18 miles in front of Ahab in a chariot, going up to where Hillary lived. I mean, Jezebel lived. And then, chapter 19, she sent a note, and he started running. Finally ended up under a tree, asking that he might die. He lost his courage. He lost his courage. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be courageous about our Christian life, our serving God, and telling everybody about Jesus. Don't raise your hand. But I wonder how many of you told somebody about Jesus this week. I wonder how many of you, every week you go out and you start telling people about Jesus Christ. You know what? Dr. Adrian Rogers said when he was alive that 97.6 of professing Christians never ever win a soul to Jesus Christ. But the Bible said, Jesus said, go into highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. I'm just talking about we lose our courage. Once we leave, it's easy to get with Christians and say I'm saved and testify we're saved and that's good and wonderful. But when we get out of here and go somewhere, go home and go to our job or go to our school, we're shut mouthed. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And the word of God, hey, we can lose that courage and boldness. And Peter did. Peter cursed and denied that he knew the Lord. I'm talking about, hey, here's two great men in the Bible. And they lost their courage. Peter just denied and he lost his zeal. May I say to you, is that zeal in your heart? Is that zeal in your heart like it was the day you got saved? I mean, is that thrill in you? Have you lost the thrill? Have you lost the joy that you had in Jesus Christ? Brother Snyder talking about revival. That'll bring revival to everybody here. If you just stop and realize that we're not accomplishing what Jesus left us here for. But anyway, you can lose your courage. You can lose your courage. Let the redeemed, I'll repeat it again, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Get out of here and tell them about Jesus. We'll go out and we'll gossip about this and talk about this, but very seldom does Jesus ever come out of our mouth. Let me tell you, you can lose your courage. Next of all, you can lose your vision. Samson lost his vision. He had his eyes plucked out. I've often wondered if Samson told that little boy to lead him over that where that big thing was. I've often wondered if he said, "Son, the Lord's going to do something. Get out of here." I kindly believe he warned him that God was going to do something big. He said, "Lord, remember me. Just one more time." And he killed more Philistines than he did in all of his life. But you can lose your vision of what it's all about. I think the average Christian has lost his vision. I think the average child of God, must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? You know what 1 John said? He said, many would be ashamed before him when he come. Well, why in the world? That word ashamed means like this. I mean, you're going to stand before Jesus and nothing to bring him. Look at all the blessing. We're always wanting God to bless us. I mean, give me this and do this and do this and do this. But what about doing what he said? And carry out what God has left us in the Word of God. We can lose our vision. And we can lose our testimony. Let me tell you, church members, when I pastored, I'd hear people say, I'd go visiting, and they say, so-and-so goes to your church. They don't go half the time. Why should I go? If you're one of those part-time members and professing Christians, nobody has any confidence in you. Because you ought to be in the house of God. Anything else you want me to tell them, Brother Snyder? Courage. Vision. Look on the field. It's already white under harvest. Fields are white, but the laborers are few. We need revival. A revival. A recommitment. To do what God told us to. Jesus said, if you love me. I hear people say, I love the Lord. Well, Jesus said, if you love me. He said, hate your father and your mother. Now the word hate doesn't mean animosity. But it means our love for Jesus ought to be so great. That our love for our loved ones would be considered hate. My mother could not read or write. They wouldn't let her go to school. But had a godly mom. My daddy was a preacher. His daddy was a preacher. Mother's daddy was a preacher. I'm a preacher. I got a son that's a preacher. I got a grandson that's a preacher. And we all like chicken. I don't know whoever told you my chicken poem or not. But I've eaten chicken young and I've eaten chicken old. I've eaten chicken hot and I've eaten chicken cold. And when I'm dead and in my grave, no more chicken will I crave. But on my grave marker, please note that 10,000 chickens went down my throat. I had a friend years ago, his name Willard. Willard was a drunkard. Willard, we met another fella, led him to the Lord in a little dirty, dingy apartment that he had. He was a radio announcer. He'd put me on. I'd never met him, but one Monday he wasn't on and they had fired him because he got drunk. But anyway, had the privilege to lead him to the Lord and he got all involved in church. I'm talking about he just got involved in everything. And his wife and son, they got right with the Lord as well. And just developed a trio. And they sang good and a lot of things. And one day he said, let's get on television in Chattanooga. And I said, well, let's see. And we did. Every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, I'd watch my program and get happy. Can't get happy at your own preaching, you're in a mess. That went on for a long time, and I'm still living in Alabama. And so we'd always make four tapes, and then that'd be good for the month. And so one time, a couple of years went by, and Will began to travel a lot, and so on, and he got a guy that played the piano. He wasn't very dedicated, this, that, and the other. But anyway, one day, Willard got drunk. I mean, I don't know. I never asked him. But later, I'm in Alabama for a meeting. And I went back in the summertime in Alabama. It was hot and no air conditioning. I was wringing wet, and I was changing my shirts. And somebody knocked on the door. The man that went with me said, a young lady out here wants to see you. And so she said, you know my husband, Willard, called his last name. I said, sure do. Said, he's over yonder in the garage. his drinking buddies, when he ran out of money, they kicked him out. Will you go see him? I said, sure. I got to work where Willard was. Now he says, oh, he could smell the vomit and all that on him. And I just reached down and pulled him up my arm. Willard! Willard! He looked up at me and said, preacher, I want to die. I said, no, God still loves you. God still loves you. Amen. You know what we Baptists do? They do that and we start talking about them, running them down. But I'm glad God doesn't look that way. Amen. Hey, I'm just saying, don't be just a little Christian. Go all the way being a Christian for Jesus Christ. If you want revival, church, individual, your visitors today, then listen, don't lose your testimony. People are watching you and your job. They hear you talk about your pastor. They hear you talk about your neighbor. You ought to be talking about Jesus Christ, but you can lose your testimony. You can lose that. Had a lady in our church there in Chattanooga. She and her husband got saved, and two children got saved. She was on fire for God. I mean, man, on fire for God. And sit over there, and I've seen her weep and cry, and was having people saved every Sunday. We did for 11 years I was there. Somebody got born again. But in the meantime, we had to build on a wing, and she's sitting over there with her husband, but I could tell there was something missing. But anyway, one Sunday night, my phone rang, and I said, hello, and it was Louise, and she said, preacher, my sister in Birmingham, Alabama, said, is it either she might die? If she does, I'm going to stay till she gets better, or she dies to go be with the Lord. And she said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, you said this morning you could look back and see, something's wrong. And I said, Louise, you've lost that smile you used to have. I haven't seen you come down and pray like you used to pray. And said, well, you're right. And I said, well, let's have a word of prayer before you go. She said, no, I'll wait till I get back. I said, no, God's not going to answer your prayer like you are. If you're away from God, he's not going to do that. But anyway, I prayed, and she came back. And I remember one Sunday night, she came in and went up in the balcony, came in late. When I got through giving an invitation, she came down the aisle. And about halfway down the aisle, a lady come up behind her, and they came down, and they knelt right there on the left. And, man, they're praying. And in a little bit, I looked down. Now, I like to see women cry because their mascara spread. And I looked down. That black stuff was streaming down. I said, look, preacher's back again. But the lady came down the aisle. Her son was dating her daughter, and they had a little nip, and it got in the family. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you can lose that closeness with God. Let nobody take your crown. You lose your testimony, but listen to this. You can lose your reward. May I share with you in Revelation 3:11? He said, behold, I come quickly, hold fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Wow. That no man. Maybe you used to sing a choir. Maybe you used to help on the bus ministry. Or maybe you did a lot of things that you used to do. You don't do anymore. You lose your reward. A drink of cold water given this name will not lose its reward. When I was growing up, Second Baptist Church, Fort Payne, Alabama, this lady lived right across the street from the church, Granny Chastain. Back in those days, no air conditioning or anything else. And she'd always bring a big old pitcher of water every service and set it up there. And in those days, they'd preach till all the water was gone. But then she'd go back and sit down as if to say, There it is. Shall have reward. I want to ask you something. People today are always looking for some reward. Football player won't make All-American, or pro won't make All-Pro, or they want to do this. But how about your reward in heaven? If any man work, abide, he hath, he shall receive a reward. I want to do something. There was a race they used to have. Everybody in that race started with a lit torch. But the winner was not necessarily the one who crossed first, but it was the one who still had the lit torch. Preacher, it still burns. There's something inside. I can't quit. I can't retire. I just haven't gotten over that Jesus would die for me. I read the Bible the other day about Jesus and his beating. They'd plucked out his beard, and they literally said his face swelled when pulling all the beard out. And they took him and beat him across his back. But he opened up his mouth. He did that. He did that for me. I've never had anybody love me like Jesus does. Amen. That's the reason. I don't know how long, but I want him to have every bit of me.
Amen.
I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose anything. And I like to hear him say, "Well done." Yeah. I'm gonna let Brother Snyder come and give a big invitation. When you hear your visitors and all, we need a stirring from heaven, and it starts with each one of us. It starts with each one of us. Stop and realize what it cost to save you. Stop and realize what he's doing for you. In him we live and move and have our being. Does he have all of you? Does he have all of you? How much time do you give him? How faithful are you to the house of God? I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, search your heart. Don't be complacent. Don't ever be satisfied with doing nothing. Brother Snyder, will you come? Will you bow your heads while he's coming?
Thank you, Brother T.D. We'll sing a verse of song in just a moment. Well, let me ask you this. While your heads are bowed and your eyes closed, please nobody leave if you don't have to. But let me ask you this. Have you lost that first love? Has it sort of slipped away? I'm not talking about a day that you just decided you're through with God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing the religious-looking stuff and then one day realizing that that which drove you in the beginning is now gone, or it's become lifeless. You have to push yourself to do anything for God. The joy you used to have of serving him has now drifted to become a burden. when you used to look for ways to serve, minister, to help, has now given way to looking for ways to get out of it. Is there anybody that would say, it's not my first love, but it's my joy, it's my vision, it's my courage, it's my testimony? I just feel like it's just sort of slipped away. I don't know exactly where I know whether I noticed it, but I care. I thank God that I still care. And I want you to pray for me. Would you? Just nobody's coming to you. Nobody's going to embarrass you. You just slide your hand up, right back down. We're going to have a word of prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just all over. Thank you so much. Anyone else real quickly? Thank you. Is there anybody that say, preacher, I don't even know anything about this losing all this stuff that he's been talking about, because the truth is, I don't even know Christ. I don't ever remember a time in my life when I put my faith in what Jesus did on Calvary for me. I don't ever remember a time. And when I lay down at night, I always think I'll address this issue at some point. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident that you're here today to hear this message. Is there anyone here that could say, I've never put my faith in him? The truth is, if he came back or if I died today, I'd be in a mess. And I know it. I truly know it in my core of my being. And I want you to pray for me, because I know what I need, and I just need God to touch me. And would you pray for me, preacher? Will you just slide your hand up, right back down? Thank you. I just need to be saved. I just need to get right with God. I've never put my faith in him. I'm a good person. I'm a good enough person, but I've never put my faith in him. And anything I do that looks like churchy stuff, I have to make myself do it. No one is looking. I think everybody is respecting our request for your privacy. Those that lifted your hand and you said, I've never put my faith in Christ, or I don't know if I'm saved and I struggle with it and I need to settle this thing. I have no joy. You meant business with the Lord, or you wouldn't raise your hand. I appreciate that kind of integrity. All I want you to do is get up. Nobody's looking. Just come to this altar. We have people here who will help you get it settled. You'll come to know Christ. If you don't, come on. Just get up and come. Just do what this one's doing. Just get up and come. Anybody else? Come on. Those of you that raised your hand and said, no, I'm saved. That's not my issue. But there's some things that have slipped away from me in my walk with God. Get up. It's time. It's time to stop this leak in your life. Just get up. Come on. Just come on. You love God. You wouldn't be touched by this conviction if you didn't. Come on. Join these that are coming. Come on. Well, what do people think? They'll think you want to be right with God. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit's moving today. Thank you for these that have come to this altar. Thank you for the one that said, I need to get this thing saddled about salvation. Let your Holy Spirit set us free from all of this stuff. All of the things that the world has used to trip us up and to hold us captive. God, move, please. While they sing a song, let us respond to the move of the Holy Spirit. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you stand together and come on? What about it? Come on. What a great way to start a revival. The Lord moves on the church at the beginning. Toward the end, we can get those lost folks in here. Go out and get the unsaved. Come on. Bow our heads for just a moment. Brother David Henderson, would you ask God's blessings for these that are still in the altar? If you just bow your heads. Now listen, no tricks, no gimmicks, no anything, but before Brother David prays, nobody's looking at you, but just so we know how to pray, is there anybody that just slip your hand up and say, I should have responded. God spoke to my heart. I am thankful for that. And when Brother David prays, I want him to remember me. Slide your hand up right back down. We'll see it. Anybody real quick? Thank you. Okay, Brother David. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you for being with us today. Thank you for the good number that is here. I appreciate it. I want to tell you something, and I'm very humbled by it. I'm very humbled by the good turnout today. Thank you so very much. Hope you'll come back. Be with us tonight at 6 o'clock. And we're going to have a good time in the Lord. The singing, the diplomats will be singing a little more. Calvary's Grace, Brother T.D. will be speaking for us. We'll do less for the choir, but we'll have a little more for y'all. And then we've got getting ready for this week, so time's choir practice. 5 o'clock choir, if you would, please. We're looking forward to it. Again, thank you for being here. When Brother T.D. was talking about the water up on the pulpit, I was at a church one time, and I walked up, and there was a large glass of water. I mean, a large glass of water. So because I'm so cute, I commented, and I said, well, that's good. I guess I preached till the water is gone. Next night, I came in, honest to the Lord, there was a communion cup on the pool. Serious, communion cup. But anyway, thank you for being with us today. Did you enjoy the diplomats? Amen. Calvary's Grace. But above all of that, did you enjoy hearing the Word of God this morning? Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate you being here. I'm going to ask Brother Michael. Oh, you have some stuff. Y'all have some set up out here, Corey? They have some stuff out here. I don't know if y'all want to just come by and take a look. If you want to come out this way, 5:30 on starting tomorrow night, 5:30.